Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ. Good morning and welcome to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Gron. I'm joined in the studio by Dale Maley for Fairbury History Fridays. Good morning.
Good morning.
He's going to be talking about ghost towns around Fairbury. I'm actually excited about this. I know a lot of other people are too, because I've seen a lot of your posts on the Fairbury History Facebook page that you contribute to a lot. So where do we start?
I'm going to go kind of quickly today because surprisingly there's five different area ghost towns around Fairbury. The first one would be Avoca, and that was located about 2.5 miles north of Fairbury on Indian Creek. The early settlers probably picked this location because it was on a creek and less than 1 mile from the Vermilion River. Now, on the Vermilion River close by, they had a ferry there, and there's an early interesting story about that. They had a raft made out of red elm logs. When the river was too high to ford, they'd put the wagons and freight on the raft, but the horses had to swim across. Now, in the wintertime, one winter day, a man was in a big hurry to cross the ice on the river. So he put his horses on a large cake of ice, and he got started going across, and the cake broke in two after the horses got on it.
Whoops.
So the horses had their forefeet on the first piece and their hind feet on another.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you picture that going? Then you got to go out in the cold water. Anyhow, somehow he got them on one piece of ice and paddled them over, and then he put the wagon on a different piece of ice, and he got it over also, and then he went on his way.
Oh, my gosh.
So a day in the life of a pioneer. There was a church there, the Methodist Episcopal Church at Avoca. It's long gone now. The Echoes Museum in Fairbury does have a banner that used to hang in the church, and I'm not aware of any pictures of that old church. If anybody has one, please let us know. The Avoca Church. The village of Avoca was laid out in 1854 by Judge McDowell, who owned the land where it was located, and it was surveyed by Amos Edwards, the county surveyor. The first store in it was opened before it was even laid out as a village by the McDowells. The first post office was established in 1840. The Avoca Cemetery across the creek from the village was laid out by the elder McDowell. And if you go out there today, there's many McDowells buried in that cemetery. But, as his history books say, on the laying out of Fairbury, the sun of Avoca began to decline.
No.
As soon as the railroad came through and Fairbury was established, that was basically the end of Avoca. Many of the houses were actually moved to Fairbury, and they still stand today. The last funeral in the Avoca Church was in 1926, and the church was torn down in 1935, and the lumber was used at the Methodist camp in Lake Bloomington. So today, if you go out there, the only thing left is the Avoca Cemetery, and the township in the area is still named Avoca.
Hmm.
Another one I get asked about is Champlin. It used to be a railroad from Fairbury to Pontiac, the Chicago and Paducah Railroad. Moses Champlin moved to a farm about 3 miles northwest of Fairbury in 1860. He came from New York. His wife had an interesting name, Terza Stanley of New York. They had 6 children, and he was about 51 years old when he arrived, and he had 320 acres of farm ground next to the railroad tracks. So he built a grain elevator next to the tracks. Now, we don't know what his ambitions were. Was it to have a town or just a local grain elevator? We don't really know. But nothing really happened except the grain elevator, and it's still standing, but it's on its last legs. And if I look in the history books, there was a train stop called Champlin back in those days. Another one is Lodemia, which is kind of between Fairbury and Pontiac on that old Chicago and Paducah Railroad. One of the early settlers there was John Edward Bodley Sr. from Fountain County, Indiana. That would be my great-great-grandfather. He donated land for the church, which was built. They had a postmaster. They had a country school, township hall, and grain elevator. Now, my father, Charles Maley, actually attended this country school. And years later, my brother, Brad Maley, bought one of the desks at auction where my father had carved his name into the desk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, interesting. They never had more than about 6 houses. Some of the family names out in that area were the Bodleys, the Tollenstores, Maleys, Tavners, Zillers, Smallwoods, Perkins, Metz, and Gould. Now, in the 1960s, they had a club called the Avoca Betterment Club, the ABC Club, that met at that township hall, and they focused on projects to improve their homes and their lands. And interesting meeting minutes still exist for some of those meetings, and there's still some photographs of some of the activities at that township hall. And I remember going to some of those meetings at the township hall when I was very young. Eventually, all the buildings burned down. The grain elevator was torn down. There's actually a house sitting on its foundation today. So basically, there's no trace left of Lodemia.
Wow.
Yep. Now going south of Fairbury towards Cropsey is Potosi. This village was started by Dr. Abraham Green. He was in the Civil War in Company F, 136th Illinois Volunteer Infantry. After the war, he attended Rush Medical College in Chicago. And there was a main road from Fairbury to Saybrook that went through the middle of Belle Prairie Township. So there was a schoolhouse built there. They had a post office called Potosi. It was established in 1868. David S. Crum was the postmaster. There was a map drawn about 1877 that shows four houses there. But it didn't last too long. In 1880, the blacksmith shop moved to Cropsey, and Dr. Green moved his store to Colfax. And the death knell was probably March of 1880 when the post office was discontinued. So the only trace of Potosi left today, if you drive out First Street south of Fairbury, there's a historical marker there. It says the site of Village of Potosi, established 1866 by Dr. Green, preacher, physician, druggist, postmaster, and manager of the general store. Village consisted of one-room schoolhouse, blacksmith shop, shoe store, general store, and some residences. And that plaque was put up by the Cropsey Women's Club in 1976. So that's Potosi. The new one we just found out about in the last couple of months is called Rosalith. It's a small village close to Cropsey. Daniel Stewart, the founder of Anchor, was responsible for establishing a trading center there. He was hoping that the railroad would come through through that area. It already came through Cropsey, but he thought there'd be another line that would come through there. One of the problems with Rosalith, that was located on low ground, and mud and water were problems. There's even a newspaper report that the Mr. Stewart, the celebrated landlord and owner of Rosalith, gave a ball or a dance in the city hall for the benefit of the citizens, but only one person showed up. The balance of the people living in the suburbs could not go owing to the disappearance of the sidewalks on account of mud and water. There's also another ball held the next month. And then Stephen Hare, or Her, I'm not sure how the correct pronunciation, he was appointed postmaster, and he actually ran a store there. Then there was another interesting newspaper article. Reports are that as a last resort, a gallon house is being put up in Rosalith in hopes of saving that place from death. I had to look up what a gallon house is. A gallon house is a tavern that sells liquor.
Oh, okay.
All right. And what's interesting, when we were researching this, it was one of the relatives or descendants of this Stephen Hare. We actually online found a postcard that was postmarked Rosalith, and he'd actually wrote a note on the postcard. So it's kind of a unique entry there, but no, nothing left of Rosalith. So that's a quick summary of the five area ghost towns around Fairbury.
Wow. So you found all this information, what, through the libraries, the local libraries, or the maps that you have? How exactly did that work out?
A lot of these, there's information in the history books already, the primary history books of Livingston County. Rosalith, though, that was, if you know how to spell it right, you can actually find some stuff in the history book, but there was a couple different spellings.
Right.
So I had never heard of it till this person, this descendant of this Hare person, brought it up. And I start researching, I found zero when I Google it.
Mm.
But when I changed the spelling, bingo, I found all kinds of things on it.
So, that's very interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of unique. I was surprised there was five in the Fairbury area. I know there's lots of other ones in Livingston County, but those are the five that are around Fairbury.
Very good. So we're going to talk to you again next Friday. Give us a preview of what our discussion will be about.
Well, recently, kind of by accident, we found some really old 1885 maps of Fairbury, and they've really got a ton of great historical information. So I'm going to talk about the story of how we found those and some of the cool things that are in them.
Looking forward to it. We've been speaking with Dale Maley. He is a historian and author from Fairbury. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Groff for Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ.